Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to Under the Moon. Let's start the show with a little Shona music. Hi, everyone. Wasn't that beautiful? That was Shona music from the group Timbila and featuring Nora Balaban, very talented Indiraist. Not sure how to say that, but it sure is delightful. My name is Joni Ross, astrologer, and this is May 25th, 2013. You're listening to Under the Moon, a weekly radio show celebrating diversity and other astro musing adventures. You're welcome to join Pat McHugh and myself. Say hi, Pat.
Hi, everybody.
In our discussion, we're talking about Mercury, so the questions are welcome. Astrology addresses so many important things, such as how as individuals, based on our birth moment, we relate to the world and to the inner self. You have a birth of an event, a business, a relationship, a marriage. There's many ways to use astrology in applying what we understand to help a person, a situation, or an event. A comprehensive interpretation of your horoscope will validate and explain your life experiences, help to clarify your soul's purpose, and shed light on areas of your life that hold great potential but are lying unfulfilled. By using the chart to gain insight into one's personal mythology, an individual is empowered to consciously participate in their own evolution. The value of a chart consultation is that it enables a person to see their story objectively, and by gaining perspective, we're able to liberate ourselves from old beliefs that may no longer be appropriate to present circumstances. Essentially, astrology helps you make sense of your life. It doesn't give you something to blame, and it doesn't provide you with excuses, but it can and does help you to see all the possibilities available to you. It's up to you and your free will to do the rest and make what you will of that potential and work with those challenges. And we're just coming out of a three eclipse cycle with lots of intense activity, astrologically speaking. So it's really a good time to work on your life, face challenge head on. The third and final eclipse was this morning, 12:26 a.m. on the East Coast, where we happen to be. It's a different time where you are if you're not here. But nevertheless, it was a supermoon lunar eclipse. And a supermoon is when the moon is at its closest distance to the Earth, so the magnetic pull is especially powerful. The Sagittarian moon is about resetting our unconscious drives from our inner world and our quest for deeper truth or expanding our awareness. In other words, the evolution of our belief system. We all have this planetary energy somewhere in our horoscopes, in different houses or areas of life experience. So check out the areas of your life and the houses indicated by the transiting positions of the eclipses, and notice what is happening in your life in that area where the eclipses are. I can send you that information if you go to my website and request your horoscope and some explanation of where the lunation is happening in your chart. My website is JoniRossAstrologer.com. So although this month is a pressure cooker of astrological complexity, we are all learning a lot, aren't we? With the Sun, Mercury, Venus, Mars, and Jupiter all in the sign of Gemini, this would be a great time to talk about Gemini, and more specifically, Mercury, its ruler. So Pat's going to talk about Mercury in being mercurial in a second, and then I want to talk a little bit about Mercury and maybe ways people haven't thought of it. And then, please, callers, give us a call, 213-816-0357. You can hang out in the chat room and ask a question, or you can just call in and ask your question. We're going to stick to Mercury, which has to do with our thinking or our electrical system running through our nervous system and our bodies, how we negotiate all information. So, Pat, why don't you talk a little bit about Mercury?
Sure, my pleasure. But before I do that, I'd like to take a minute to thank our sponsors, Here Be Monsters, and
great.
Gwendolyn Holden Berry, and her website, daughtersofisis.com, where she has a collection of lovely oils and incense and soaps and just really amazing, beautiful things, which you should check out. It's
really quite nice.
So Mercury. Mercury is the planet that has the fastest orbit around the Sun. It's never more than 28 degrees from the Sun. If it stayed direct, it would take only 88 days to orbit around the Sun. But since it goes retrograde about three times or so a year, but it goes retrograde three or so times a year. Lots of people know about and have heard about Mercury retrograde. And what happens when Mercury is retrograde, it's closer to the Earth and therefore traveling more slowly around the Sun. Because it's further away from the Earth, it appears to be going backwards.
That's right.
As you might suspect, this is a time when Mercury affects us differently. As Joni mentioned, Mercury rules our electromagnetic systems. So our electromagnetic energy causes a polarity shift in our mentality, in the way that we think. Most people generally feel during a Mercury retrograde period that it's crazy out there. But actually, it's a shift going on inside of us, so we tend to focus more on our inner world.
That's a good thing, isn't it?
It's always a good thing, in my opinion.
At least once in a while.
Mercury rules the third and the sixth houses of our horoscopes. And the third house rules communication, your thinking style, as Joni said, how you learn, your siblings, and early childhood. Where Mercury is placed in your natal chart determines how you make sense of the world and how you formulate and share your ideas. Again, it rules your body's electrical system and therefore how your nervous system processes information. And this, of course, affects how you think and talk and conscientiously interpret life around you. Some mercurial traits are curiosity, talkativeness, being overly cerebral, being restless. Someone who has a strong Mercury placement might enjoy being a perpetual student or a writer. They might talk with their hands. Or they think on their feet, and they're always thinking about something. So how do you know if you have a strong Mercury placement? Well, you have to look for the sign of your natal Mercury. If you don't know where your natal Mercury is, you can request a copy of your chart from Joni on her website, www.joniross.com.
JoniRossAstrologer.com.
Joni Ross Astrologer. I'm so sorry, mm-hmm. Joni.
That's okay.
Mercury rules both Gemini and Virgo, so Mercury placement in either of these signs or in the third or the sixth house, which are ruled by Gemini and Virgo, would be considered a strong placement. And Mercury is also comfortable in the air signs, Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. If your Mercury is on an angle, especially on your ascendant, or if Mercury is conjunct your moon, you again would have a strong Mercury placement, and it would probably are a good example of one of the myriad ways of studying Mercury. And now I'm going to turn it over to Joni, who's going to talk a little bit more about Mercury,
all kinds of things,
different ways of looking at how to study Mercury in your chart.
Well, yeah, I mean, we can look at your Mercury if you're calling in, or absolutely get in touch with me and we can talk about Mercury. And right now, you know, if anyone's born, because this would be their horoscope, this moment, depending on where they live, would affect their ascendant. But their Mercury would be along with Venus, Jupiter, Mars, the Sun, and what a concentration of energy. And if we think about Mercury, because it is, you know, if we're looking towards the sun, what's in between us and the sun? Mercury first, and then Venus. So Mercury really talks about how we are inside. It literally is our electrical system. So where Mercury was in terms of your chart really can describe how your thinking is. Mercury isn't always with us. It's always 28 degrees, within 28 degrees of the sun, but sometimes it's in the sign before or the sign after. So what happens when we when our Mercury is activated is because it's capable, the Mercury is so fast, it's capable of filing, discerning, identifying all the different input, all the things that we see, we hear, everything that all the things that we have to decide what we're going to focus on. It's really quite astounding what our thinking does, isn't it? And so the sign of your Mercury and the house placement and the aspects that Mercury's making talks a lot about how you might think. I mean, what you think about, that's up to you. You know, somebody that's very mercurial, like so much mercury, but they could be like a trivia addict, and or they could be talking about nothing at all, but talking. But whether you talk a lot or you don't isn't really as important as that you think a lot. So anybody, you know, Gemini's out there, Pat said, think on your feet. Well, that's how I see Geminis. Is they're very good at explaining things, even if it's kind of whittling in and out of situations. And we all learn that from them. They're masters of thinking on their feet. So anyway, so our electrical systems, you know, when Mercury goes retrograde, as Pat was talking about, retrograde, what happens is the Mercury is a little, it kind of goes in and out, closer and further, sort of how the moon does with us and with the Earth. So when Mercury is close to the Earth, we're really feeling it in a different way. It really kind of shifts the polarities with inside our nervous systems, our electric systems, and our thinking is always affected by that. And, you know, of course, we want to talk about thinking in general today and talking, because some people, they tend to be the kind of thinker that is checking. Is this correct? Is that what I'm supposed to think? Is this what's proven? Is this a fact? You know, what happened? That's how I'll decide what I think now. And then there's the thinkers that are kind of, I'm in my thought right now. And you feel like thought is this processing, this adventure, this vision that you enable yourself to enjoy. Well, I don't know. This tortured everybody's enjoying is up to the person. But the way people think, they're much more forward and creative with the thinking or forward thinking. So when we have Mercury retrograde, what happens is even the most pragmatic thinkers tend to feel a little more like, well, what's really going on with me? Or it starts out, what's wrong with me, or something doesn't feel right, to the point where you really kind of recheck everything and process it through and come up with something new. So those retrograde periods, even though they get a lot of bad press, my computer, I can't tell you how many, well, I don't have phone machine anymore, but how many phone machines would break during Mercury in retrograde. And during those retrograde periods, though, it's so important that we allow ourselves to really rethink how we are handling what our inner world is about and what we're thinking about and what attitude, I would say, is happening. And if you have a lot of crazy, crazy, crazy patterns in your head, thinking, you might do really well to just have a great massage, just acupuncture. I'm kind of an acupuncture freak, as you know. I had one of my acupuncturists, Sandra Kaplan, on. You know, this is really good to get the energy moving, because we are talking about electromagnetic zones and communication that is continual. So anyway, I wanted to say, you know, people calling in, we've kind of determined we're not going to do readings. You are so welcome to call, make an appointment, have a reading. But on the show, I want us to really refer to the topic, if that's possible. I see somebody left the call board. And, you know, what's a good question maybe about this would be, like, what is my strength? And how is my communication strength? What is my weakness possibly? How can I be more clear when I'm talking to others in my own mind? How do I communicate my best? And then, but you can ask whatever you want. I mean, I'm not going to bite. Neither are you, Pat, right?
Not at all.
just one other thing I wanted to talk about. I know we have a couple of callers, and hang out there. We're going to get to you. I wanted to talk a bit about the cycles of a Mercury. Now, you know, Mercury, well, before I talk about the cycles, I also wanted to talk about the moon. So, you know, I'm Joni Moon on here, and of course I'm Moon Message, and I'm very, very excited to talk about the lunar energy that rules all of us in that moment. It's our kind of the emotional weather. But also the moon in our chart refers to our memory. So memory is what, memory or the experience of the past is what kind of creates who we are. It's our individuality. It's the karmic cause and effect that we've been going through. So the moon and Mercury combined really describe our intelligence, or how we use information and communicate. And, you know, we don't all have to be able to win quiz shows, but if you can, you know, you probably have a great active Mercury. Anyway, I'm going to take the first caller. My mother keeps telling me to go on quiz shows, and I'm like, Mom, that's not my Mercury.
You probably should.
Hi, caller. Do you hear me? This
Hello?
Is Joni. Hi.
Hello?
You're on the
Am
air.
I the caller?
You're on the air.
Oh,
yes,
wow,
you're the caller.
Cool. Yeah, so I'm an astrologer also, and I just thought I would share a little bit of my Mercury experience. Is that okay?
I would love it. What's your name?
Okay, this is Barbara.
Hi, Barbara.
We've known each other on the internet for a while. And I have Mercury in Aquarius in the first house, conjunct my ascendant, conjunct Venus, opposite Jupiter in the seventh.
I'm going to write it down because Mercury, Aquarius rising and it's Venus.
Aquarius rising. Aquarius and Venus both are Venus and Mercury both in Aquarius.
Ah, great. Excellent.
Conjunct the ascendant. Opposite Jupiter and Leo. So I talk a lot. And then
That's
it's in a yoke.
That.
it's in a yod with my Pluto-Uranus conjunction in Virgo. So it's in conjunct and with my moon in Cancer.
Wow.
So it's you mentioned acupuncture. Acupuncture works for me so well because I have very electric energy.
Absolutely.
And I kind of spaz out. Like I can actually pop a light bulb if I'm freaked out. So yeah, I just wanted to share that. This is great. I love hearing what you have to say.
Can I say something just in my response? No, just the idea of the Uranus-Pluto conjunction itself is quite an energy, but having it come in this kind of inconjunct aspect where you don't really have the reason to respond the way you do. You're not only do you talk a lot, but you say a lot. And probably sometimes you don't know why you're saying things.
Yeah, definitely.
A channel. That's an open channel. Like I just interrupted you, sorry.
That's okay. That's one of my problems.
I don't mind.
Yeah, and Uranus actually hit that conjunction back in 2000. I quit my job. I got divorced. I moved to a different city, and I lost 40 pounds, and I wrote about 50 poems.
Unbelievable,
powerful.
Right? And oh my God, an outer planet is hitting your ascendant. You know, you better check into a sanitarium. No. Look at that. Well, I'm not saying you wanted to get divorced, but sometimes it is a bit of a liberation.
Well, I don't know. It was a freedom thing. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
It was good.
Well,
so,
Barbara,
and then it always
great call. Thank you. No, you don't have to hang up, but I'm just very, very excited because Pat and I were wondering who was going to call today, and this is very, very encouraging that we're going to have a great Mercury day.
Good.
What else? In terms of being an astrologer, you said you have Jupiter. Is Jupiter on conjunct the seventh house?
No, not quite. Not quite. I have intercepted houses.
Is what?
Hmm?
Is it
I have intercepted
is it the finger
houses.
Of God? Is it the finger of God configuration or not?
It is. Mercury and Venus are at the tip. So, yeah, it's
okay,
a nice
Okay, Barbara, what
nice
is you, how can people get in touch with you? Because I'm going to recommend you by your chart alone.
Well, they could email me is probably the best way. I used to have a website, but I've taken it down.
Okay.
I could put it back up. But
no.
The email is monkey, just like the animal, fish, like swims in the sea, 68@gmail.com.
Monkey68@gmail.
Monkeyfish68@gmail.
Are you born in the year of the monkey?
Yeah, and I'm a Pisces, and it was 1968. Yeah.
Oh.
That was good. So anyway, I want to know you, and we should talk more about stuff now that we know each other. Really appreciate that. Also, I wanted to say, you know, the reason I'm saying, oh my goodness, you must be such a great reader, because having a configuration like that is not really common, and it kind of indicates a readiness on a spiritual level that this life has a very relevant. I'm going to say mission, because I love the word mission, and you know, so I'm sure there's moments in people's lives where you have been a turning point for them, right?
I'm a social worker, and I work in an inpatient psychiatric hospital.
Hello.
So I work with people who have severe mental illness.
Thank you for all that beautiful work.
Yeah, and
yeah,
I can communicate with them.
It's not such an easy chart what you have, but very profound. Especially
well, there's that humanitarian aspect.
Well, the other thing I was thinking when you were telling me what you're saying is that, you know, Venus Mercury just really likes to be civilized and polite and all those things. But Uranus Pluto, forget about it. Don't ask a Uranus Pluto person if you don't want to know the cold, hard truth. And so it's very interesting how your ascendant has to, you know, just seeing this, the way I see the ascendant is some, you know, sort of the portal between you and the outside world. So yours gets a little worn if you're not careful with all that energy, I'm talking about you, your body, your health and everything. So the fact that you can do that work and that you're doing it, and I can hear your voice is so clear, so strong, that's beautiful, beautiful.
Well, thank you.
So, okay, do you want to say anything out there for anyone that wants to know how they can use their Mercury to become a psychiatric social worker, astrologer, or make their dream come true?
I've seen, you know, I like to look at the Mercury as children, and my oldest daughter, her Mercury is in Gemini, and she's got a different kind of thinking than I do, but I like to look at the Mercuries and charts and how people think. I just met somebody with a Mercury in Capricorn, and now I'm watching, you know, how does this person think? I talk so much, and I mean, I write a lot, I read a lot, I talk a lot. And I think it can be difficult sometimes in relationships when you, at least for me, somebody has a Mercury in Taurus or in Capricorn or do okay with the Virgos.
If they have their Mercury conjunct Venus or their Venus, Venus to me is really listening. So you need someone who loves to listen, especially if you're not just talking about you, I think. And, you
right.
know, Aquarius rising, you don't really do that, right? You talked about you all the time. I'm sure people would be right. Oh, I got it. But if you talk, you know, because if you talk about yourself, it better be interesting and entertaining. But if you're talking about them, people want to hear.
Right.
People like to think things about themselves, right? That's why I got
Indeed.
On the radio. So I can. I was just thinking. Well, they'll just listen. No, I want people to come in and talk. I want them to talk too.
Well, I want to hear more people calling in. I want to hear about
okay,
other people's Mercury.
So
I'm going to get off the line.
Take care, Barbara. Thank you so much for calling.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye. Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hello?
Am I on the air?
You're on the air right
Hello?
Now.
Hello?
Hi.
My name is
Patty. I remember you from last time.
Yeah, I
How
enjoy
are?
Your
okay.
show. I wanted to know if I could find out about my thought processes and my electrical system through my Mercury.
Oh, okay. So you know a little bit about your chart, right?
I do, but I know what my Mercury, what sign it's in, but that's about it. I don't have my chart.
Okay, wait. Are you going to give me your birth date? What's your birth
yeah,
date?
Yeah, one. Okay, 12/52. That's wrong.
Right.
That's my
good day.
12/26/52.
And what is? You know what time you're born?
Yeah, it was 6:20 p.m.
Okay.
In Boston.
And Boston. Okay.
Yeah.
So the caller before you was saying, oh, I wonder what Mercury in Capricorn is like. Well, she didn't say that. She wanted to know how people felt about their thinking when they had Mercury in Capricorn. So who said I love it?
I don't know.
Ah, my Skype thing is over your Mercury.
Well, let me tell you where I can look for my chart and tell you where it is.
Pat, did you make her chart? I just can't see the degree of Mercury.
I did. I'm seeing Mercury based on what I heard. I see Mercury at 19 degrees Aquarius in her seventh house. Oh, no, that's Venus. I'm so sorry. Mercury is in Sagittarius in the fifth house, 15 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
Sag. Okay. So,
yeah.
Okay, here's an example.
And
go ahead.
I think I was born during Mercury retrograde, which is what I really wonder about.
Me too.
I'm not seeing Mercury retrograde. Are you getting Mercury retrograde? No.
No.
I don't see
Mercury
retrograde.
Oh, okay.
You know, you can be born with Mercury going direct, and then progressively it goes retrograde, and that really shifts the polarity inside you. That really is a shift when any of the planets are stationary direct or retrograde, and then they change directions. It really changes our focus when it's retrograde for more of an inner activity to more of an expressive outer activity. But you were born when Mercury was direct, and in Sagittarius, that's someone who also likes to express themselves, especially if they're feeling good and optimistic and hopeful and interested, and the conversation isn't too, I'm going to say, silly. Rather, you rather talk about philosophy, ideas, and your Mercury is in your fifth house of, fifth house is the house of children, and I remember you told me you were a teacher, so say here's, you know, a continuing story of how wonderful your teaching can be, as long as you're feeling like people are listening. I mean, I think one of the things about communicating is we all need to feel like people are listening. But I would say, especially because Mercury's in your fifth house, which is the sun's house, if people aren't listening or they're rude or they just don't give you the benefit of your own sincere intention, it's very aggravating. Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, and I know kids, and I'm sure you're very aware that it's a process of getting kids to trust.
Well, I think New York City teenagers, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But also, I think because your Mercury is in Sagittarius, you know, it's a way of being more open to different ways people are. I mean, I think one of the problems with Mercury in Sag is if people speak in a conversation that bores you, you probably tune out completely, right?
Yeah, I will tend to do that, yes.
You will tend to do that. So, good for you, because you don't want to cloud your nervous system with inane things you don't need to be involved in. I think your thinking is geared much more to the dignity of life because of the sun there and really supporting the value of a person. And so I'd say your Mercury, you know, people think, oh, Mercury in Sagittarius, it's the opposite sign to Gemini, and Gemini's the ruler. Yes, people with Mercury in Gemini are very, very comfortable with talking, thinking, you know, usually, unless it's aspected in some way where it makes it an issue. But Mercury in Sag is not such a detail person, usually, because they're much more interested in conceptual thinking rather than information constantly. So what is it you teach again?
I teach English, special education, and theater to teenagers in New York City.
That's awesome. That's perfect.
Who said awesome?
Not, I don't know that.
Do I still
ahead,
have
sorry.
Another caller on the line? Let me see. Is there another caller on the line with us?
There's me.
There's you. Did you see? Okay, so anyway, yes. I'm going to mute that person just because it's okay. So anyway, back to our story. I think that, let me get your chart back. You're, just like the caller previous, Barbara, you have a nice aspect between your Venus and Mercury, too. So, you know, teachers have to keep, you know, they have to kind of create the order in some way, especially when it's people that are coming in to take a nap rather than learn, which is the kind of student I was sometimes. So, but because your Mercury is making a sextile, which is a kind of excited flow, needs a little motivation, but once you have it, it's a gift. This says that you really do know how to get other people, and that's your intention when you talk to them. I think Venus Mercury really cares about how their communication is received, and this is a very good thing in terms of being a person who can have a dialogue. So I'm sure that you like to talk, but you also really like to listen. Am I right about that?
Yes.
And maybe that's one of the things that the kids do like about you. So have you always found that you're super popular because of this, or do you have your challenge with it?
No, I have my challenge. I definitely have my challenges with it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my challenge is I am a very enthusiastic speaker and listener. Actually, discussion is my favorite thing to happen in class. But my challenges are I'm not the best at keeping order, like some teachers are. They keep it.
Well, you
want to
hear
like
something very interesting, Patty and Pat? Oh, I love having two Pats. That's fun. You know, of course, Gemini is one of the signs of duality, the twins. But Barbara, the caller before, who happened to be an astrologer, and she just sounds so great to me, had this yod with her, well, 15, yes, you have a yod too, with your Uranus and your moon. Your moon is in Taurus and your Uranus is in Cancer. So I think that is an interesting segue flow to our Under the Moon show today, because this is not so common. I mean, people have.
Well, I never heard of it. I don't know what that is.
Very unusual, Joni.
Well, think of it this way. You have Mercury in Sagittarius. Sagittarius is a mutable sign, and it's a fire element. Usually with an aspect, like a square, you know, it'll be the same modality. You know, it'll be something similar about it. So you feel the energy, and it needs to work itself out, or it kind of molds together. But okay, the moon is in Taurus, which is fixed in Earth, and then Uranus is in Cancer, which is cardinal and water. So they don't have anything in common with Mercury, those elements. So how do you negotiate the energy without it having a communication flow? Instead, it has input and impulse and reaction and just reacting to each other. So as you get older, I'm sure you really learn to use your own energy. But I could imagine when you first started out as the great thinker that you are, you were questioning yourself all the time. Do you do that now? In a way, you want to be very nice when you speak to people, but in a way, it's sometimes confusing when people are reacting. Are they reacting to me, or are they reacting to something going on with them? I think it's hard to make sense of it sometimes. So your thinking is a bit complicated, but again, I think there's a great gift here of being able to just communicate, let it go, and do your best, and see amazing things happen around you. And from what I understand, you're living in a world like that where it's confusing, but you're not letting it get you. That's what I remember from last time. So, you know, it'd probably be a good idea for you to have a consultation, really talk about these energies and how you can use them even better than you're doing now, or just to develop your own inner dialogue so that you can give space for the different aspects of what you are wanting to think about.
Right. Okay. You have
a very interesting chart. Okay, Patty. So I hope you are calling back another time.
I'll be calling. I look forward to your show.
Thank you. Take care, dear.
All right. Bye.
Okay. That is so interesting. Now.
Absolutely.
Okay, there's another question here. Does that mean, hello, you're on the air. Okay, so let's talk about this for a minute, Pat. What did you think of that? Wasn't that interesting that we had this synchronicity with two people with a yod?
Two yods in a row. This is very unusual.
Yeah.
Did you want to explain to listeners who might not know what a yod is, what exactly it is?
Well, I think I was explaining it. It's when you have it's sort of like a squeezed-in triangle configuration. You have two planets that are making a sextile, so they're fine with each other. There's a flow. And then they're both making this quincux, which is kind of a stressful, it could be stress, it could be disoriented, it could be challenging aspect to the Mercury. Now, Mercury's fast. Mercury's furious. What is the old adage? A mile wide and an inch deep. So Mercury doesn't have the capacity for that powerful energy so easily. So I would say that this is another person that really needs to work with her nervous system. You know, make sure you nourish yourself and get what you need so that energy moves and you're feeling good physically. Okay, there's another caller. Hi, you're on the air. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm Dave. How are you?
Dave, good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I hope you ladies are doing readings, are you?
Well, we're talking about the Mercury in people's charts. So that's part of a reading, yeah.
Well, I don't know my chart very well, but my birthday is December 3rd, 1953.
Okay, wait a minute. If you have a yod, I'm going to go buy the lotto. Wait. You said December 3rd, 1953?
Yes.
Okay. You know what time you're born, Dave? I'm sorry.
4:05 in the afternoon.
Okay, good. And where were you born?
Sterling, Illinois.
So have you had astrologers look at your chart a little, a lot, once?
A little. It's a lot of times it doesn't fit into my mentality of understanding, you know, exactly how that fits into my life. But I find it entertaining.
Okay, good. Let's see if we can entertain you. Well, you know, I would say Gemini rising. Mercury's the ruler, so our ascendant, you know, the sun is our, it's kind of the individuation of our solar energy as an organism. How are we thriving? What's our purpose? The moon is our unconscious desires, and you have the moon in the sign of Scorpio, so you can go for readings all you want, but you have a very deep intuition yourself if you tap into it. I'm sure you know that by now, right?
Say that again?
You have an intuition that you can kind of trust. It's a feeling about things, right?
You get hunches,
right?
Yeah. At this time of the world, though, it seems like things the intensity is so ramped up, I'm a little confused.
Okay, I'm sorry.
If you get that in some way.
Of course I do. Of course I do. But in general, your emotional life is very, very full because the moon in Scorpio is a deep feeler of things. So if you're upset or you're disturbed or you're angry, you know, this is really not so easy, especially because your ascendant is kind of the modus operandi. There's lots of ways to look at the ascendant, but if you look at your horoscope as kind of the static blueprint of who you decided, how you want to live here in this world, the ascendant's kind of, and the everything in the chart is kind of how you perceive your life. Well, the ascendant is how you look out and perceive how you want to be as you go. And since you are Gemini rising with Moon and Scorpio, that's kind of an interesting combo right there, because the curiosity is endless. And your Mercury is in the sign of Scorpio, too. So, and it's also conjunct Venus, so there's our commonality with the Venus-Mercury, the two inner planets that we, you know, that the solar energy filters through as it comes into us. You know, so this affects, you know, Mercury is the electrical system, and Venus is your absorption of things. So, again, you know, and these are in the sixth house, which could indicate work, but it also is health. So,
can I explain something to you, and then you can mirror it back to me?
Absolutely.
I've been a pro musician from the age of 14, and that was, it seemed like my whole life was in that. And a number of years ago, I've got a 10-year-old daughter, so when she was born, I really had enough playing music anyway. And so I haven't really reinvented myself other than being a great father, you know. So the monetary thing, life's kind of been a challenge monetarily. Mm-hmm. And in other ways, because I just really embrace being a dad. So I feel as if I've been on hold here for a long time. And it's not because of my daughter. It's because of the monetary issues. So that to me gets kind of confusing, because in the music thing, it seemed to always, I always end up, it always ended up taking off. I mean, I had plenty of girlfriends and plenty of places to live. Everything revolved around music. And when I quit doing it, it's like I'm feeling dry. So does that fit in somewhere in your understanding of what you're seeing?
Well, of course it does. But why did you stop playing music? Because they just weren't gigs, or you just wanted to be at home more? What was the reason?
Well, you know, I started at 14, and I think I played until I was full time until I was 49 or 8.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, I was doing like 50,000 seat gigs, you know. Mm-hmm. And touring and all that. And I really, it got to the point that it didn't make sense to me. I was singing songs about things I didn't believe in. And my life became kind of real, and music hasn't fit back in to this point. I mean, I don't even want to go play in a club for free. I have no desire.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, you know, sometimes when we have a big hesitation, there's a reason. And, you know, the thing is, now the issue is you need more money, and you need to be focusing on how you can deal with money in a way where it's more about abundance for you. And it's very interesting to me, because Venus is conjunct Mercury. It's not tightly conjunct, but Venus is also the planet that kind of rules our money and our value. And you know, because you have all these planets in your workhouse, I think work is a way for you to really work with the energy. You know, and this is just kind of a silly idea that I just thought of, so I'm just going to put it out there. After all, nobody's listening, right? you know, why don't you, do you still like listening to music? Or have you stopped playing music?
Well, are you a basically what happened to me, it's been 11 years ago. What happened to me, in some way I woke up. And when I woke up, I kind of realized what I'd been doing all along. And my whole interaction with music was different than what I thought it was. When I was actually feeling, I made a study of this. And I believe that these songs, what we're really getting out of these songs in a lot of ways, any music is what this person, what these entities are putting in it as far as feelings, when it's recorded especially. So we think we're listening to something, we're having these feelings. Well, they're kind of predetermined. So I went back and studied 60s music. And, you know, I love these old songs about love and that. And it just seems to, you know, I haven't come out of that. But that's where I'm at. But I want to tell you this other part.
Okay.
I've got this investment. I've been waiting on it to pop for about 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I have intentions of starting a metaphysical school for children. So I've just been waiting for this investment to come to fruition, which there's no reason it shouldn't. And it seems as if it's right on the edge, and it's been that way for a couple of years, but money will no longer be a problem, and I will go out and start a school and
well,
teach children.
Well, it's good getting some rest. You're going to be very busy when you get that started.
Well, I feel that may be what's happening, but, you know, in the midst of waiting for something to come to fruition, as we look out in this world today, it's kind of hard to believe something good can happen, for me anyway. I spent too much time studying
you know,
what's really going on in the world behind the scenes. So it's a faith issue I'm kind of having at this time.
Well, yeah. I mean, you have Jupiter in Gemini, so you're having a Jupiter return. I think it happened last week, and you have Jupiter retrograde. You know, look, I think we have to respect when we don't want to do something anymore, but you have to really ask yourself, what about it am I really leaving, and what about it still resonates for me? It's easy to just try to fit your consciousness in a logical way, but it just won't work that way for you. You're a creative being. You're a person that is emanating his own energy to be to be kind of sent through the energy outside you into the people. Obviously, you really want to help people. And I that's how I seek music, because I was a singer before I was an astrologer. I'm still a singer, but I understand what you're saying. And sometimes I think, too, how I used to just really, really be that girl in the song, and I just don't need to do that anymore. But I still love music, and there's all kinds of music. So, you know, and in terms of, you know, maybe you can just find your transition song and listen to it and allow yourself to just ask yourself the questions. But, you know.
Give me the song. Give me the words. You know, I'll go do
but,
it.
Okay, but you know what?
Yeah.
Instead of say, give me, just say, this is what I want to know. Because the answer's in you.
I got
it. It's going to come up. The unblocking is the whole challenge. Or, you know, I think finding the right question is the challenge. The answer becomes really clear once you understand the question. So,
well, my hesitation,
you know,
and maybe you'll get this, is I know that if I do music, it gets big. And really, I don't want to get on tour buses, or I don't want to travel.
No. You're in a whole other stage. You don't have to do it anybody else's way, Dave. You don't.
Gotcha.
You don't. But if you believe you do, then you're going to already feel like the world's a prison, I'm a prison. No, I believe, this is just my belief, that we all came here in this time of the age changing. We didn't come here for a calm, simple beginning to end. We came here during this time of change. We are capable of thriving in these conditions, but it is about evolution. It is about doing as much work on your inner world as you can so that you do have a clear connection to your own intention that is there. You know, so many things we don't remember. It's so that we go through it again and have to learn it again, right? But what you're having in your life right now sounds so, I know it's hard for you, but I think there's a beauty to it, because you're just letting go of all the crap that doesn't have meaning to you anymore and only wanting to focus on what does. I think that's beautiful, personally. Right, Pat? Don't you agree with that?
It really is. Sometimes whether or not you see it, it's really an enormous gift.
This is your gift.
Well,
so you can't act like you're being
moments.
Punished if you're getting a gift, or how many gifts do you get? You know what I mean?
Well, I don't, you know, I'm not going to the punishment thing. I don't, it doesn't feel quite as bleak as maybe it sounds.
No, I know what you're saying. It's not bleak.
But
it's,
I mean, for your
else.
Life to be on hold for consecutively for that amount of years, it's like, yeah,
okay,
I'm,
let me say one more
I'm
thing
challenged
about
to
this.
The core.
Let me say one more thing about the on hold thing. You know, being a Sagittarius, you know, you like to cover a lot of ground, plant a lot of seeds, make sure lots of stuff happens. But the moon in Scorpio isn't like that. No. Very, very picky. Because when you get into something, you get into it deep. This period of time in your life right now has great meaning to all your other existences. You're going to a turning point of depth. You don't need to rush that. Now, I'm not saying you don't want to do things that are productive and think that you can do, but this question you have, what's next? What's my song? Where are my songs? How can I translate the beauty of music into the helping of children? Please, this is all the same stuff. I can't tell you how many astrologers have been singers. or musicians. It's just amazing how much healing arts of all kinds, metaphysics, music, it's the real stuff. I mean, my brother would be laughing hearing that because we're kind of opposites. But, you know, we've had these conversations. But to me, this is real, the transmission of our intention. So open up your channel, dig being you. And, you know, if you find a kind of a victory song that's kind of about the transition, play it. Even if you have to just, you know, whatever it is, the ocean. I don't know where you are right now, but whatever it is, just your creativity isn't limited. But if you're not, you know, when you have Jupiter in the first house and you're a Sagittarian, you kind of need your faith to be an active experience, not a passive waiting, but more of this is how I express my life through faith. I believe in my dream. You know, well, anyway, I don't want to lecture you, but
one thing for sure, I'm so grateful that I do get on this blog talk every once in a while, and I make a call out to somebody that touches me like you two have, and I appreciate that.
You're so welcome. So keep in touch. You know, if you go to my website, JoniWestAstrologer.com, I can give you, like, where these eclipse lunations were in your horoscope, and, you know, maybe it'll give you like a little brief explanation, but you can put it together yourself, and maybe something there would make you realize how profound the shift is right now for you. Just Moon and Scorpio, it's a fixed sign. It doesn't change fast, but it is a real and deep change. So that's
well, so what might,
I'm a
what
Scorpio,
might I be
so I'm happy. Sorry?
What kind of changes might I anticipate here in the near future?
Well, anticipate that you're going to get the answer to your question. Anticipate it with such vigor and passion that you're going to get it. You don't need anybody to tell you what's going to happen. That's for predictable people.
Yeah,
do you?
Yeah.
No, you don't need that. But you know what? We all need a tune-up. I don't know what you play, but believe me, we all need to tune up.
Well, I was a Hammond organ player for years.
Oh, that's interesting.
Cool.
And you played? Did you play rock and roll?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, excellent.
Yeah. Very cool.
Very, very happy to have you on the show, and thank you for that compliment.
Good to be here.
Okay, my
thank
dear.
Thank you, ladies.
So take care. We'll see you again, hopefully.
Thank you.
Okay.
Blessings. Bye.
You too. Okay. Do we have time for a call? Okay, we do. Everyone out there, please get in touch if you want to have your horoscope and these explanations. They're kind of interesting to look at. And I'm going to continue talking about Gemini and Mercury on my daily moon message. And I make these little audio files. If you get to me on Facebook, you can plug into them and give me some feedback if you don't like this or want this or whatever. I'm happy to have a communication. Gemini is always all about dialogue. Okay, so who is this? Let me just see who this person is. I think. Hello, you're on the air. Okay. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Sharon.
Hi, Sharon. How are you?
Hi. I just stumbled across you, and I thought I'd call and see what impact, what I do, my sign is Aries, my rising sign is Scorpio, and my moon's in Capricorn.
Great. And what is your Mercury, do you know?
I think Mercury is in
Sharon,
Aries.
Why don't you just give me your birth date so I can...
Okay, it's 3/22/49. Toledo, Ohio.
Do you know what time?
10:30 p.m.
Okay. 10:30 p.m.
Yes.
Okay. So, let's see. Oh, my goodness. My little host insignia is over everyone's Mercury. Okay, so Sharon,
Mercury.
We were going to talk about Mercury today. So I'm going to just stick to the Mercury.
Okay.
For one thing, your Mercury's in the fourth house, which is the moon's house, and it's in the sign of Pisces, which is the Neptune sign. Ooh. So I think you've got amazing instincts yourself. You get tremendous feelings about people you care about, how they're doing, what they need, right?
Yes.
And that's probably what's on your mind a lot. How can you help someone?
Well, right now, I'm looking to find a place where I can do the highest good.
Do the what?
Do the highest good. Be in service.
Yes, yes. And I'm sure that's how you've been. The thing about having Mercury in the sign of the house of the moon is you're kind of a emotional barometer. What's going on with people around you? So it can get you to be a bit more moody in general than some days you want to talk, some days you want to just close the door and not let anybody in, right? I mean, just that's the kind of Mercury you have. Sometimes you want to communicate, sometimes you don't. And I would say, being Scorpio rising, which is a very powerful ascendant, you're not going to say everything. You're going to be really thoughtful, but when you really have something to say, that's when you'll say it, right? Sharon? Did I lose Sharon?
Oh, Sharon, where'd you go? Oh, bummer.
No, who said
no.
Bummer?
Hello?
Okay, yes. So let me see, she tried to get back. Okay, Sharon? Well, anyway, call back in if you'd like. Okay, sorry. I don't know what happened. Maybe Mercury wasn't really a question. Okay. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, is Joni?
Yes, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good, thank you. My birthday's 9/24/57.
Wait, because I promised I was going to write things when people said the 9/24/57?
Yes, 57.
Okay. Do you know what time you're born?
8:01 p.m.
Oh, people really have these precise times. I'm so impressed. And where are you born?
Trenton, New Jersey.
Trenton, okay. Okay. You know, Scorpio risings are very private.
Yes.
Okay. I have to be very careful. You know, on the air readings aren't so easy, I have to say. Okay, so but I'm happy to talk to people, obviously. I like to talk to Barbara, wherever you are. You know, we're discussing. Were you listening to the show, the whole show?
Yes, part of it I was.
So tell me do you have a question about any of this that you were thinking?
Well, not really a question. I'm just kind of like, I have a little unsettledness around me right now. I'm at a point in my life where I'm taking care of an elderly relative, 96 years old.
Wow.
And I find myself, I find myself going from one extreme to the other. Like, I know her time's coming soon, but it's kind of like an unsettling feeling, and I'm not quite sure what it's telling me. So I didn't know if maybe the aspects around me, Saturn, I know, and Pluto is not a good planet, and I didn't quite know.
No, you're talking about the longevity of your already extremely long living person you're caring for, or just your life?
Just my life.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
You know, the time's going to come where she's going to be passing, and I don't know if that's going to be coming soon around me now.
Yeah, well, I hope whenever it is that it's a beautiful departure for her, and you're very happy and proud of what you did do to help her be comfortable and happy as she could. And, you know, interesting, because we had a caller before who also had her Mercury in the fifth house. And, you know, let me ask you this. I think talking about just your general direction in your life, I mean, if it's possible for you to have a consultation, I think when you have those kinds of feelings, that's a good time to have a reading with someone. But I'll talk about some things, of course. I'm happy to. But I think when you have serious questions like that, you want to make sure that the person really gave thought and you understand who you're talking to and da-da-da. Okay, so, but having said that, you know, I think that your Mercury is in the house of Leo. So who was it that had Mercury? I think it was the second caller had her Mercury in the house of Leo. And, you know, there, you know, our, I think that the challenge with Mercury, you know, you have Mercury in Virgo, first of all. It's in one of the signs it rules. So it's a very good placement in terms of the zodiacal sign. Because Mercury in Virgo is someone who wants to think about things that actually have practical relevance, that make sense in the world, right? And this you know already about yourself.
That's true.
But the part about it that I think is a challenge, and it's good to just be aware that you have to really consider that sometimes, is that if you don't know the answer to something, or if someone else isn't appreciating, and, you know, and sometimes someone, you know, even, I don't know if this is one patient, then you have another patient, or is this a family member, you said?
A family member.
Okay. So, you know, you're in the whole, you're like the filter for the whole family when you're the caretaker, too. So, you know, there's a lot going on.
Correct.
With this kind of thing. So who feels good when not everybody's dealing with it in a very high level? You know, it's hard.
Right. Right.
It's also hard to know what to give people because they became less able to know what they need sometimes. So, you know, and you know all this, and, you know, I would be very grateful to have someone with your sensibilities, Mercury and Virgo. But because it's in the fifth house, and so is Pluto, by the way, this is a placement where there's kind of a deferring to, well, I should do what should be done, or is that appropriate, or did I do that right, or just, I don't know if I'm going to believe that. It has to be proven already for me to believe it sometimes. Now, I'm not saying that you are like that, but when you're in a confusion, you could have, your negativity could be in that form.
Okay.
Are you relating to what I'm saying?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So, you know, talk to someone who knows your wonderful intentions. You know, if you're going to talk about things, talk to someone who can appreciate your process, not judge it. Because I think any, you know, be around someone that's judging you right now, or come on, those things are very hurtful.
Yeah, that's not going
to
work.
And they get your mind to go, boom, like you got a bruise.
Yeah.
So you have to,
especially when you know, some people have no idea of things that you have to do when you are a caregiver.
Definitely.
You know?
Like I said, you know, you're...
And so if they want to be, if they want to be opinionated in the wrong way, I don't have no time for that.
Of course. And, you know, and of course it could take a form of getting defensive. And that's what keeps you from really having dialogue with people that really gets you somewhere sometimes. And because your moon is in the sign of Libra, you love to have dialogue. But, of course, you could be the devil's advocate. You know, with Libra's always a debater. So right now you need help and you need support.
Yeah.
And you're giving support and you could use a little support. And it's the last thing anybody ever really thinks about sometimes. So... You know, again, it's a very important time for you to give yourself a whole lot of breaks around feeling confused about where you're coming from. And also, you know, I had a client once, and she was, she is a person who went to Ashland Institute a lot. And somebody must have said to her, trust your paranoia. And I always go, geez, you know. Well, just because we come from different backgrounds and how
right.
we think of in that word. But, you know, I would say that if you're holding on to a lot of everyone else's confusion, be careful with that. And you are kind of, you know, when you're going through a death or a process like this, when someone gets to be that age, you know, it doesn't necessarily give you the freedom to think, what's next? You're
true.
In something very profound in this moment. So I would say make sure you take care of yourself and talk, especially if any of these other family members are, you know, those on the sidelines, the peanut gallery.
Yeah,
the peanut gallery.
Family,
family what?
The family members are, no. They're too busy with their own lives. So no, it's kind of just all on me right now.
Okay, well, that's hard in a way, but it's also a freedom of sorts, too.
Yeah.
But maybe she's having some concern, where are they? I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, whatever it is, you know, I think if you have a chance or you have a time, you know, maybe it is a good time to have a session with somebody who you feel can really get to it, even though it's hard for you to sometimes open up, isn't it?
Right. A little bit, yes, it is.
Yeah, I think it's because, you know, the fifth house placement with Mercury gives you, well, they should, you know, I should just show my good side. Why do people have to see, you know, that I'm not, you know, whatever. And that has nothing to do with this.
Right.
It's just, I think it's just a bit of a sticky point with our own negativity blocking our moving forward sometimes by feeling kind of isolated if people don't agree with us, and
right.
no one has to agree with you. This is your life, and this is your beautiful, profound experience here in the world. And
right.
even confusion, believe it or not, is a very valid period sometimes, because sometimes we're letting go of an identity that isn't serving us anymore, and we're getting ready to, we're waiting for another one that really appeals to us.
Right.
Rather
that
than
is true.
What else can I, you know, and the other thing about your moon is it's in the house of Virgo as well, in Mercury's house. So I would say check your nervous system for its congestions, you know. I don't know what your healthcare stuff is like, but if you can just go somewhere and just meditate, acupuncture, great massages, whatever, and make sure your diet is really not getting you kind of plugged up, too,
right.
because you want to make sure there's movement. You know, your work is
right.
really challenging because it's, you know, it is observing someone's process.
Right.
That from this side, it looks, oh my God, they were so young once and now they can't. But actually, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful
right.
thing to have a long, long life and to have someone who cares nicely for you. You know, just kind of catch up the stuff you can't do. It's beautiful. It's fortunate
right.
that she has
yeah.
fortune. Anyway, you can get in touch with me either way to have the explanations of the eclipses, or, you know, you can talk to me about having a reading if you like. And Pat, why don't you tell everybody, we're going to close the show after this, but Pat, why don't you tell everybody how to get in touch with us?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, dear. Take care.
Oh, if you want to get in touch with Joni, you can reach her at 561-330-4040, or you can contact her. She has a Facebook page, Joni Ross Astrologer. You can contact her there, or you can go to her website, JoniRossAstrologer.com. Actually, has her moon messages, has links to the old shows that she's recorded, old episodes of Under the Moon, and lots of really cool stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. Okay, so I would like to thank everyone for listening, and it's been wonderful being here, and have a great Memorial Weekend. But also, I want to play the full recording of Senjay, which means my heart is a real thing. And I just love this. Nora Balaban and Bila. So we're going to close the show with that. Where am I? Thank you, everyone. There it is.
The color of night.
Hey. Oh, what did you think of the show? Not as good as last week. Okay. All right. Okay. I saw a little day.
Hello. That's okay.